Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 63.
This week on the podcast, friend of the podcast, Kim Eaton, swings by to chat about the greatest story in history.
It turns out that if you actually try to implement Obamacare, it really works.
In other healthcare news, colonoscopies are just too darn expensive.
John McCain's excessive war experience doesn't translate to knowing what the hell is going on in Syria.
And more 2016 contenders step into the ring.
Plus, we have the end of the Rockefeller Republicans, the crazy Olympics to replace Michelle Bachmann get underway, and a big Ann Romney missed opportunity.
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter. This is Brain Trust Live. Well, we've got a very exciting podcast this week because literally since the first week that we've been doing this, we've been trying to get our friend Kim Eaton to come on because she's spectacular and she loves politics and she's hilarious. And
this is the ideal forum.
And we finally have her, and what better thing to talk about with her than Michelle Bachmann leaving, not running for re-election in 2014.
It's because like a gift dropped in her lap.
Seriously. So, welcome, Kim.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Yes. I'm super excited.
Yes. So, this was like the best news that anyone could have had. This would have led any of our 60 podcasts, basically. I mean,
Fortunately, it came in a week with no other news.
Exactly. But this video that she released,
that the Times called of gauzy network quality.
It was crazy. It was really sort of weird. It was
better than the time she delivered the response to the State of the Union, I guess.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know. That was pretty good. Do you remember that when she was, like, looking off camera when she did the tea party? Yeah, exactly. So, it was just so weird because, like, first off, she talked about all of the reasons that she's not running for re-election. And Kim and I were talking about this earlier in the week, which were very obviously actually all of the reasons that she's not running for re-election. Like, it doesn't have anything to do with the FBI coming after me.
Exactly.
It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I barely won the last time. It doesn't have, like, anything to do with anything that it actually has.
All of the specific reasons she listed in the video.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you preempt any thoughts people might have, then of course it's not real.
Right.
Yeah, it's
not this.
Well, that's how things happen.
Because that's not a thing.
That's how things happen to Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
Because
she speaks the opposite of facts.
Anything that she says, she just thinks is true. We know this from her presidential campaign and the fact that you couldn't fact check her. I mean, they had a fact check quota on Michelle Bachmann from, like, her presidential
campaign.
She
is somewhat infallible, like the Pope. Once she says something, it becomes fact.
It's just
exactly.
How it is.
Uh-huh. But that video really, it was so weird too because it had, like, this weird sort of, like, very hopeful music track playing underneath it. It was like she was announcing her candidacy for something.
Well,
and not
well
her
she promises to stay involved in all of the fake issues that she's currently involved in, I say in air quotes.
It was very Aaron Sorkin-esque, which is interesting because he's very much not in her wheelhouse.
She's never seen The Newsroom.
No.
She's a better actor than we thought.
Well,
she can act the part of a triumphant political hero while saying wrong things.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, and now she and her sort of Tea Party counterpart, Sarah Palin, have both quit positions, which I find funny, because it's like, you know.
Now people won't have to go through the trouble of differentiating them, though. We'll just be like,
maybe they'll join forces.
Oh,
like
a
God.
Danger.
Thelma and Louise of political consultancy.
I love that.
It'll involve zero information. No facts.
Nope.
Just feelings. Just gut feelings.
Gut feelings. Well, the Republicans have been relying on gut feelings for a while now. That's why they thought they were going to win the last election.
Yeah, and the downside of all of this is that the Democrats were really excited to run against her because they had a real campaign with real things to discuss, and now they don't know. It's just like this random conservative district.
Well, she's from a very conservative district. Romney won her district by like 17 or 18 points or something, and she almost had to go to recount in this last. So they would prefer to be running against her for sure. And I was reading something, actually, I don't know if we have it on the document, but I think that they still just plan to run against her anyway.
Well, yeah.
Like, just, she's not running, but, like, whatever.
The memory of Michelle Bachmann is running. And she's apparently not yet been approached by Fox News. So I don't know what she thinks she's going to do with herself now that she's going to be out of the limelight. I guess there's time.
There's time.
But I don't. She's not like a Dennis Kucinich who could go to Fox News or to any news network. Like,
well,
she's not really going to find a place at MSNBC as a conservative pundit.
I mean, Fox News might have too many
Too many people.
Too many people right now. And they might also... And
there's a lot of people
like
her.
This sounds like a crazy thing to say, but they might also have too many loony people on their air already. Like, they may have met their quota.
Yeah.
Because they also... They just signed Alan West, too.
Right, exactly.
Which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
And, like, do you need Michelle Bachmann and Alan West?
No.
You don't need two of those.
You know who I'm living for on Fox News now, though? Megyn Kelly.
Oh.
Did you see her?
Oh, yes.
Her,
yes.
Like,
yeah, she, like, laid the smack down.
Hand Luke Dobbs' ass.
Yes.
Here's a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is her name Megan or Megan?
It's Megan.
Is it
but
Megan?
I prefer pronouncing it Magine.
Oh, that's right. It's M-E-G-Y-N.
M-E-G-Y-N.
There was a long period where people were referring to her as Megyn Kelly.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
All right, well, I'm sorry. Fact checkers. Anyone? Fact checkers? Get back to us. Thank you.
But what was she... It was some...
They were talking about how women who are the primary breadwinners in the family, and then the fathers end up being the stay-at-home caretaker of the children,
that
ends up ruining the family dynamic, and the children suffer. And she was like... You have got to be kidding.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to some other crazy Republicans who sort of had the same thoughts about what women should be getting paid, and it's a woman, but anyway.
As always.
Great.
Marsha Blackburn, she's a gem.
Real.
We're going to talk about a few people who are going to potentially be vying for the new sort of Michelle Bachmann, you know, president
title.
Of Crazyville title.
The president of Crazyville title.
Marsha Blackburn.
The official,
we'll get to her later, but... we thought maybe we would just sort of do
take
like
a walk down memory lane.
Yeah, we did this. We posted earlier this week, our thoughts on, that we wrote after the election about.
Right. Our memories of Michelle Bachmann from the election.
Yeah. But there were some things that even I had forgot that she had said, and there was a great sort of like a article on Think Progress that was like the top 10 crazy things that, Michelle Bachmann has said, and we're going to go over them right now because they're pretty spectacular.
We could have that music that was underscoring her song. Like right now.
Yes, during this. Yeah, during all of her, like, during really spectacular quotes.
The look back.
Or maybe, like, Sarah McLachlan's I Will Remember You.
Yeah.
We could do that.
There would be some rights issues.
You need listeners
us,
to have rights issues.
I was
going
to say, the lucky thing for us is that it would never get back to Sarah McLachlan.
Right.
Nobody would ever have to know.
Yeah. I had forgotten about this first one.
I had forgotten about
which
a lot
is
of these,
funny because it's, I think, the most hilarious one on this
list. It
might
list. Be. Yeah.
It's when Michelle Bachmann, it was 2004, and she was speaking at the National Education Conference, or the EdWatch National Education Conference, and she was talking.
Also, don't be having Michelle Bachmann
at an education, at a conference
like,
that involves people that are supposed to be teaching facts to children. But she was talking about the, quote, normalization of homosexuality, which she said would lead to the desensitization of American youth, I guess.
A lot of $10 words.
This is the quote. A very effective way to do this with a bunch of second graders is take a picture of The Lion King, for instance, and a teacher might say, do you know that music for this movie was written by a gay man? The message is, I'm better at what I do because I'm gay.
Well, first off, I mean, there's a lot to unpack, for one.
Right.
But...
In summary,
I mean, Elton John is better at what he does because he's gay. So she's on to something there. I don't think that's probably happening in second grade classrooms. I don't think that's a
thing.
Didn't happen
in mine.
But it didn't happen in mine either.
I mean, that's...
No comment.
No.
Is that what was going on in... Well, oh, Des Moines.
No, that was still Maryland, actually.
Oh, you're still in Maryland.
I'm a citizen of the world.
Maryland,
the world
Iowa,
of American
Jersey,
states.
Right? Yeah.
Maryland, Iowa, New Jersey. That is correct.
Nice.
Well, if it was going on in any second grade classroom, it would have been mine, and it was not going on in my second grade.
If it wasn't happening in Manhattan.
Well, now I feel shortchanged. Actually, this is the problem with education.
The reason that I was obsessed with Michelle Bachmann, and I mean still am to a degree, but I mean was her obsession with all things gay.
Yeah.
I mean because. Like, even, and
her
this is not on the her husband, right, but, like, I mean, even back before she was, like, a U.S. congressperson, she was, I mean, she had that whole thing where she, like, camped out in the bushes of the gay pride parade, like, back in Minnesota when she was, like, a state legislator. I mean, she's really, like, she's crazily obsessed with gay people. Like, she and Rick Santorum just, like, can't stop thinking about, like, gays.
No, sure.
It's all she can think about, generally.
It's... right in front of her constantly.
Well, that's true. She can't escape it.
Exactly. But yeah, this is, I think, also hilarious just because in my household, Disney was considered kind of evil because they were trying to give me these sort of traditional morals that weren't going to fly in the new in the progressive future. So
really,
this is.
I mean, you didn't see the part where you know Lion King Simba, he like fluffs down and then the dust swirls and it spells sex. Or
yes.
Ariel's Little Mermaid castle looks like
has
a penis
penises or something. Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They totally had an agenda. There was an agenda.
They did.
She might be onto something.
she knew. She often knows things. Michelle
yeah.
Hoffman. She's a knower.
She is very prescient.
Things. One of the other things that she knew was that if they abolished the minimum wage in Minnesota, they could create jobs.
Oh, yes. Well,
which has been debunked by all people that know anything about economics, which is not even a real science, as we know. And also math.
I think anyone can be an economist now.
Anyone has always been able to be an economist.
Actually, I think I'm going to be an economist now.
Well, we talk a lot about it on the podcast about the economy being just like
a fake
system. That
concept.
We could remake up tomorrow morning if we wanted to.
I think we should. I think it starts here.
The economy is doing well. Take that.
I know, right?
Go with
it's
it.
It's now a fact.
It's now a fact.
It's been said.
And she... You know, she's questioned science on a lot of different issues.
Right, because she also said that scientists are big supporters of intelligent design.
Mm-hmm. Which is an incorrect fact.
Yes. She...
But it has the word intelligent in it, so you think scientists, they're like, we're for anything that's intelligent.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
There was Clara Chavo.
Oh, God, yes.
Another fact of science was... One of the facts of science was that she wasn't healthy.
No, despite what
Michelle Bachman may believe. This is my second favorite one, though.
Oh, this is a classic.
Michelle Bachman, in 2007, went on, like, a junket in Iraq. And when she got back, she told her colleagues that there was a commonality with the Mall of America in that it's on that proportion. There's marble everywhere. The other thing I remembered was that there was remarked about was that there was water everywhere. It was like she went somewhere where she saw some marbles, like some like sort of.
Did they have a Snoopy roller coaster
right.
there?
Her only reference point for like grand scale architecture is the Mall of America.
I know. Also, there's no marble in the Mall of America.
No,
of course not. We used to do school. I'm sure you probably did too. Have you been there? Haven't you?
Oh, Mall of America.
We would go every October
back to school shopping.
Yeah, back to school shopping.
Really?
That's what you,
that's what you did if you lived in Iowa or Minnesota.
You did.
Back to school shopping
right.
in October.
Mm-hmm. Because I think they also, didn't they, like, not have sales tax, like, at a time?
Something like that, too.
But it was also sort of like, I mean, the Mall of America really is...
is genius.
Right. Think of, because I'm sure you've never been.
Of course not.
No. I mean, you hate malls.
I hate malls. I've never been to even a bordering state of Minnesota.
Right. I know. But the Mall of America...
That's real America.
But the Mall of America is more spectacular than... You can even really comprehend.
It is a
so I've heard.
It's a wonder
and
of
genius. It is a wonder.
A wonder
one of the new
eight,
seven wonders.
One of the new seven wonders.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
One of the new 3,007 wonders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, this is another one that I mean. She's not the only one who has said this, but she. This is a big Republican thing when they're fighting against global warming about how you know carbon dioxide is good for all of us.
Yeah. There. Like she said this in 2008. It was just after a Stanford study had shown the opposite. It had like mapped the number of deaths that were occurring directly as a result of carbon dioxide poisoning or whatever.
That wasn't going to stop her.
That didn't stop her.
No.
No. She claims that there's not even one study that can be produced that shows that carbon dioxide is a harmful gas, ignoring the fact that
there is not one study that can be produced that I have read.
Right. Not a single study has made its way to my desk.
Mm-mm.
Therefore, studies do not exist.
I'm assuming she just thought it was an attack on, like, the soda companies.
That's
un-American.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Yeah.
Un-American.
This was another classic, too, where she called for... And this was right after, I think, that she had first been elected to the United States House of Representatives.
This is, how she made her bang.
This was really her first big entrance onto the public stage, where she wanted to, like, find out which... members of the United States House of Representatives were anti-American.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which ones were against America?
It was right after Obama somehow, because he had been on like a school committee with William Ayers, who was in the Weather Underground.
Oh, yeah, palling around with terrorists.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That was back when he was palling around with terrorists, when her doppelganger, Sarah Palin, was on that track. And she, like, decided that there should be, like, a congressional investigation into Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, because they were obviously also dangers to the state or something.
I mean, Harry Reid
Harry Reid's might be a danger, incompetence might be a danger to the state. Yeah. It's not un-Americanism, it's just incompetence.
Anyway. Oh, another good one. She once suggested that Melissa Etheridge should repent after getting cancer in 2004.
She deserved it. She should have known.
Well, she's gay.
She's going to go out there and be gay, and then she thought she wouldn't get cancer. God has a different plan.
Yeah.
But she also somehow thinks the census is, like, encroaching on her right to privacy or something. Like, she didn't want to fill out the census in 2010.
That's right. I remember that, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that. There was a lot of Republicans.
Yeah, who were, thinking like, that they shouldn't be filling out the census. Because the census was some sort of, like, you know, giant government overreach scandal where they were going to then know how many people lived in your house.
How dare you? How dare you?
And then, in final hilarious quote giving news, she suggested that Glenn Beck might be able to solve the debt crisis.
Right, and her quote, which I love,
yeah,
I think if we give Glenn Beck the numbers, he can solve the national... Like, Glenn Beck is going to get out his abacus and really just sort of, like, start crunching the numbers. Just get to the bottom of it.
Because economy is for everyone. We learn that. Everyone's an economist.
Everyone's an economist. Glenn Beck, sadly included. Well, my feeling is if Glenn Beck got on the air and was like, the economy is doing great, then the economy would be doing great because everyone would believe the economy is doing great.
Right,
all you have to have to get the economy to do great is to believe that it's doing great.
Yep.
That's
right. Where there's a will, there's an economy.
Once we all believe the economy is doing great, we spend money and then the economy is doing great.
Yep.
That's all it takes is someone telling you it's doing great for you to believe it.
As soon as the show's over, we're coming up with like a 20-point plan.
Yeah.
That's all the consumer confidence.
We'll be declaring for 2016.
People talk about consumer confidence.
Consumer confidence is just people thinking the economy is doing great.
That's all it is.
How do you get them to do that? By telling them that.
Yeah.
This is sort of like the best twist of this whole situation, I think, actually, because Jim Graves, who ran against her in 2012 and came very close, as we just sort of mentioned, like, he, after Michelle Bachmann dropped out, he also dropped out because he was like, well, I guess that's it.
I won.
I love that his job was not to run for the seat. It was just to make sure Michelle Bachmann didn't get it. Like, bless his heart.
And he sort of released a statement where he spoke of himself in the third person, where he said, this was never about Jim Graves. This was about challenging the ineffective leadership and extremist ideology of Michelle Bachmann on behalf of those she represents. So really, like, he didn't even... wasn't about me.
No, I didn't need a platform because I wasn't running about...
I didn't even really care about winning, per se.
I'm pretty sure it's just the not Michelle Bachmann platform. That was his platform. Yeah. At least he's honest.
Well, and they're still basically planning to run on that platform.
Yeah, exactly.
But now there's open seats on both sides. I mean, the race is
wide
open.
That would be the best ever. Like, she would say something and then be like, Mr. Graves, do you have a response? What
not
she said
that.
Is incorrect.
The opposite. Negative that.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to miss her. Because
we're going to miss her. She's going to continue to make statements to the public.
That's true. Well, and she's, you know, she's got another, what, year and a half, basically.
She's got a year and a half.
I hope she goes Bullworth on us. Because you would think that she had already been going Bullworth on us with all of the crazy things that she's going to say. Like, now that she's...
Somebody tells me she could go crazy.
Now that she's not running for re-election, like, just say everything that is on your mind that you've been holding back on.
Basically. I love when people are both dogmatic and have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Those people are the really fun ones to watch. It's going to be 18 months of pure delight.
Well, and it's going to be an 18-month audition for her pundit job that she's going to be looking for.
That's
so
true.
She's going to really need to kind of bring in the crazy...
We really could do a whole podcast on her exit, though, because there are so many things that even just as we've been
talking, if we could have
just like when she ran, like she literally sprinted away from Dana Bash,
there's so many
crazy questions,
brilliant things that, like, I mean, you could just go on for days. She's a gem. She's an American gem,
American treasure.
Yes. American in the sort of like object sense of the word.
Yeah.
From one American treasure to another. Right. You're going to miss you, Michelle Bachmann.
Yep.
Yeah.
So next.
But we got some good news also.
We did get some good news. Obamacare This is continuing to work.
We reported on this a couple weeks ago. That is working.
Where all of the states. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of bad news about Obamacare too.
Right. All from states that have no investment in making it work.
Don't want to implement it, and that I think is the thing that we're sort of learning, because California is one of the states that was like out there real early. They've been promoting it.
They need it
because we're the largest market of uninsured people.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, we're going to get this right. We're going to do this, you know, we're going to make sure all of the insurance companies sort of like, we're going to build this from the ground up and like everything. And so just realized this week that the marketplace where all of the health insurance providers had to sort of like release what their rates were going to be as part of the new Obamacare marketplace. And guess what? They're low.
Lower than they were.
Lower than they were. Up to, for some plans, up to 29% lower than they were. Which was the whole point of
Obamacare. Which is the amount that Anthem raised their rates last year for most people in California.
Right, exactly. So, and this is how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
You release all of the numbers into the marketplace, you have competition, and then that's supposed to drive down the costs. Now, the states that we're hearing about where the costs are going up are states who haven't set up their own
exchanges. Yeah.
And so, like,
of this working in Oregon, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, every state that's released their rates has found that they're significantly lower than the market rates were before.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, my crazy aunt has been releasing
her own market rates.
She's been releasing her own market rates. But she's been posting a lot on Facebook this week, because there have been a lot of stories about, like, how Obamacare is raising insurance rates, like, 700%. But those are in places where, like, they haven't set up their exchanges.
Yeah.
So, like, the federal government is sort of, like, racing to get these exchanges set up. They haven't done it yet. So the healthcare companies are realizing that they can basically charge whatever
anything they
want.
Yeah.
And so,
they're pretending they're afraid they're about to lose money. So they're driving up their rates in preparation.
So what we're learning
for the government overreach that's about to occur.
If you want some Obamacare as a state,
you should try to get some Obamacare.
You should try it, and it'll work. And your citizens will be able to have cheap healthcare.
Yeah.
If you don't, then your citizens will have to pay 700% more for their healthcare than they're already paying.
If they're sort of, like, worried because people who would previously not really have purchased insurance because they were young and healthy are, like, now going to be forced to buy insurance under this plan, like, the reason that rates are supposed to go down is because healthy people are being, like, compelled to participate in the system.
Well, and that's...
So if your rates aren't going down, something is wrong.
Right, and that's another thing that California is doing. They're really sort of marketing these plans to healthy people. They're making sure the rates for people under 25 are really
affordable.
Cheap. So those people pay into the system because they're not, typically people who have a lot of healthcare costs. So, you know, those are the things that are, like, going to drive down costs. And if you don't make sure that those things happen as a state, then, your healthcare insurance costs are going to go way up.
What you'll have is a law that prevents you from charging more to sick people.
So
and
if
then
you live
you'll...
in Texas, who isn't setting up your own exchange, and you have Rick Perry as a governor, then your healthcare rates are going to go up. And that's not Obamacare's fault.
No. No, that is life in Texas, always. But we have some other exciting healthcare news as well.
This is actually from the New York Times.
This is from the New York Times.
Despite what you may think after we start talking about it, we didn't make this story up.
No. This is just sort of like a case study, I think, that explains why healthcare costs, or how much higher healthcare costs are in the U.S. than they are everywhere else. And it's about colonoscopies, which are trendy at the moment as a sort of preventative healthcare measure. If you're not for like people our age, obviously, older people are being compelled to go get colonoscopies just to check around, make sure they don't have colon cancer. That's like a thing that doctors are telling people to do. And people who love healthcare are going and doing it.
Before you die, make sure you see Europe and make sure you get a colonoscopy.
But as it turns out, the like average cost of a colonoscopy is like in the high, it's like, you know,
thousands
in the $6,000 to $7,000 range.
Somebody had one.
Does Obamacare come with a free colonoscopy? That's all
I don't
know.
They do have free preventative care, but I don't know what colonoscopy sort
that,
of like
how preventative that is.
I'm just going to get one.
Just want to get that over with.
Right.
But I mean, in other countries, they're under $1,000.
Right.
And this is like a thing that's being touted as like a way of preventing colon cancer, which is a major issue for older Americans. That's like a popular kind of cancer. Or not popular, but trendy.
It's very in vogue.
It's a common cancer in older people. But this is a preventative test, so you get it just to see. You don't get it because you know that you have a colon problem.
No.
But it's it's, you know.
I wonder how much Angelina Jolie paid for her double mastectomy.
I know. She has health insurance, though.
She has health insurance.
She's fine.
Pretty
That was preventative.
I'm pretty sure she could provide health
insurance. She has some good SAG health insurance.
Yeah, she's probably got affordable health insurance.
I'm ready for Jolie care.
Exactly.
Forget Obamacare. I want Jolie care.
That's, their whole family is covered by an affordable union health plan. Yeah. In case anyone is curious about...
Yeah. Also known as Mom Makes $10 Million.
Right, exactly. But seriously, we pay, like, more in, like, something like 21 categories like, than the rest of the world does. For, like, for, basically, like, drugs, for cost of procedures, for, you know, cost of, like, actual care, for hospital stays, for... I mean, everything that we have is, like, more expensive. And you would think that maybe that would be... sort of okay if we were getting better care than the
but
rest of the world, but there's also a lot of studies that show that we are not getting better care than everybody else either.
And in many cases, we're getting less, because in most other countries that are comparable, they have socialized healthcare, and so everyone can have access to the care, whereas here, you have 50 million people who just, like, can't, and even a lot of people who are underinsured who can't afford to go to the doctor even though they have insurance.
Right.
Because even going to the doctor would...
We actually just made a pit stop in Mexico to get some drugs that Lila couldn't get because her dermatologist won't give them to her without having her come into the office.
When I was talking to my dad about it, and I was like, you know, for a lot of those things, like, especially in the case of antibiotics, it's cheaper to buy them in Mexico. It's cheaper to go to Mexico and buy them than it is to go visit a doctor and pay your copay and buy them.
I have, like, a whole pharmacy worth of antibiotics that are Mexican antibiotics that my mother gives me because she stockpiles them.
Here's the secret,
though. My mom's, like, hoarding antibiotics.
Those were made... Mexican. All of the things that I got were made by Pfizer.
She was on the border, basically.
So you? Sort
of, like, I just looked...
Clarcy was a cartel.
I just looked at the geography of Yuma... We were in Yuma last weekend, as you know.
Yuma's actually south of Mexico.
Yuma is south of Mexico. There is the city in Mexico that we stopped in is surrounded on two of three sides by the U.S. It's shaped like a triangle, and two of the sides are the U.S., and one side is Mexico. And you can just walk right into it. There's no customs.
My parents are getting all their dental care. In Mexico,
I need to renew my passport this year, and I'm pretty sure that's the first place I'm
going. I know. It's like a 4-hour drive.
Then
nice. Go. And you can stay with Stephen Clarcy.
Right.
Done.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I don't have dental care.
What? No wonder people are retiring in Yuma.
Or vision care, which are two
very expensive things
that you need.
Anyway,
and I'm dying for a colonoscopy, which I just don't have the money for right now.
Brent, if there's anyone who would get a colonoscopy in their 30s as
I
a preventative
love a
measure,
good, I'm
Brent
the
loves
type
a good excess medical procedure.
I love to go to the doctor. It's fun for me. I also have a hot doctor, so that's part of it. But.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't. Uh-huh. Well, and I'm in a fight with a physician's assistant in my doctor's office.
Oh, God. John McCain was in Syria this week.
Oh, my God.
No segue into that. I just went with it. We were done.
That was really good. Colonoscopy. John McCain.
That's true.
Actually, it's good.
He's...
You know who needs a colonoscopy?
Elder care.
He's had more than
John
one.
McCain.
John McCain.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely had more than one because he's suffered from giant tumors on his face for years, so he probably gets a lot of preventative measures done. But that hasn't stopped him from traveling to Syria and being pictured with terrorists repeatedly.
No. That's what was so funny. He went there because, I mean... Let's face it, John McCain loves all wars.
Yes.
Basically. There's not a war.
Any chance to crash a plane that he can get his hands on.
How many planes has he crashed?
Four.
Four planes. He's crashed four planes. Survived.
Every time. Mysteriously.
God has a plan.
I know, exactly.
It is against Melissa Etheridge. It is for John McCain.
Exactly. But he seriously just can't. He can't. He has to be involved in every single war, no matter what.
He likes to think of himself as some sort of, like, military envoy to any kind of difficult... And the thing in Syria is so complicated that his already kind of simplistic worldview, which is very sort of, like, Cold War-based, kind of, like, good guys, bad guys, it's the reason that we have so much trouble in the Middle East, because they were just arming everyone to beat the Russians.
Right.
It's the reason that Afghanistan got... armed within an inch of its life on every side, because we gave them weapons to fight the Russians. But, so he's now going to Syria to try to pick a side.
Yes.
Try to figure out which side to be on.
And the whole point with Syria is that, I mean, you know, Obama has been sort of, like, hesitant to, like, get involved in that, even though...
Because it's a fucking mess.
It's a mess, and I don't think that, like, it's... You can't really fault him for that, because he has gotten involved in other places in the region. He got involved... in Libya, but that was sort of, like, very clear-cut. Like, there were, like...
Right.
There was Gaddafi, and there was, like, the
everybody else, yeah.
Basically. Like, so that was, like, sort of easy to figure out, and we could get in there, and we could arm people, and we didn't have to send ground troops, and, like, you could just sort of, like, figure it out. But all John McCain did by going to Syria was prove that nobody knows what the fuck is going on there, because he sort of had a little bit of a debacle while he was there. Because John McCain did his own version of palling around with terrorists.
Yeah.
Or, I think, as Rand Paul said, hobnobbing with jihadists, or, like, some radio host that Rand Paul was talking to or something like that. But
He crossed paths with more than one. It was two guys.
Yeah.
Twice this happened, where he was, and this was in a Lebanese newspaper, because that's sort of where, that's where all of the great news in Syria is coming out of, because all the international reporters in the area are based in Beirut. But anyway, he was apparently, he crossed paths and was photographed more than once with two men that were connected to the group that was responsible for kidnapping, like, 11 Lebanese Shiite pilgrims in 2012.
Yeah.
Which was big news over there.
It just, like, sort of proves the point that you don't know who the fuck to give weapons to over there.
No, it's a fucking shit show over there. Everyone is doing the wrong thing.
Here's a thought. Stop giving everyone weapons.
No.
Well, that is...
First of all, every side there is already armed. So well, that's a problem, because
yes,
anyone
but as John
with
McCain
a random
says,
agenda...
You can't fight tanks with AK-47s.
No, so don't... But don't... That doesn't mean that you give tanks
give
to
tanks
everyone.
Give tanks to everyone. Like... Pretty soon, everyone is just going to have their own... It's going to be what they're driving around there, basically.
It basically is at this point.
They'll be hybrids.
I was
going to
say, it's like the tank in Syria will be like the Prius in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Love that.
Basically. Yeah.
Yoga moms on their way to yoga tank.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, so in a sort of bizarre related incident... Rand Paul accidentally made some sense when discussing McCain's trip to Syria.
But if we've learned anything from Rand Paul,
he may not realize he made sense
because sort of after he had that like big huge filibuster about drones,
he suddenly
like,
was in favor of killing any person with a drone at any time.
Realized that was wrong and that you could just kill people who had stolen something from a 7-Eleven with a drone. I believe was what he said. So he may be backtracking. But he basically was like, you know, you don't know what to do over there. He's like, there's some pro-Western people, but, like, John McCain claimed to have vetted everybody, but he, like, got pictured with these terrorists, and, like, I mean, you can't know.
Well, and he said, there's two ironies that you have to overcome to get involved in the war in Syria. The first irony is that you'll be allied with Al-Qaeda, which is, I think, a big one for those guys, right? The second irony is that most of the Christians are on the other side, so you're arming Islamic rebels who will be killing Christians, which... for them, is tantamount to murdering children. I mean, that's... So, basically, his point is that, you know, you're sort of caught in the middle of a war that where the sides are not clear-cut in your favor, and there's really, like, no good side to find yourself on, which is an oddly intelligent thought for him to be having.
Well, he's pretty much against most... wars.
Yeah.
Which is a thing that I sort of...
I get very confused about how, like, to what extent he sort of allies himself with Ron Paul's very, like, clear libertarian principles.
Right, because Ron Paul would like to make, just like...
Right, Ron Paul, I can
no
see saying
anywhere,
this.
Basically.
Ron Paul is against going to war in other countries. He thinks it's a waste of money. Rand Paul is a Tea Partier, and I'm never really sure where he gets off saying stuff like this. Is it like he had an accident? He, like, had a phone call with his dad that day, so he thought for the day that he was in favor, you know, that he was against getting involved in Syria. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow he'll have a phone call with Michelle Bachmann, and then he'll be like, oh, no, wait. I want to go to war with everyone all the time. I don't care about who I'm involved with. I don't care about what side I'm on. Like, it's hard to know with him.
Hard to know. He's being pulled in different directions.
He's being pulled in a lot of different directions. Uh-huh. Well, and they're talking about him for 2016, and it's like, what platform is he going to run on?
Right.
Is he going to take up the Ron Paul mantle? No. Because he's a Tea Partier. Those people aren't going to... The college students are not going to vote for Rand Paul. He's a nutbag.
He's crazy looking, too.
Very crazy looking.
I mean, his dad was sort of crazy looking, but he's also, like, 1,000 years old, so he's just sort of...
He just looked
like,
wonky.
He was just, like,
he's
getting
a wonky
by,
looking
I mean, like,
guy.
A crazy looking old guy. But Rand Paul, like, has that sort of, like, Michelle Bachmann, like, crazy twinkle in his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, his eyes are always moving.
That's weird hair, too. Something is weird about his hair.
It's very weird. I think because I expect him to look more like Ron Paul, and he looks like Ron Paul, but with a wig on, sort of.
Right, but not eye wigs.
Not
eyebrow wigs.
No, not...
Do you remember Ron Paul's eyebrow wigs?
His, like, eyebrow merkins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, He's an optometrist. Rand Paul.
I know.
Or an ophthalmologist. Maybe he's a doctor. It's unclear. But he's an eye doctor.
He's an eye doctor. So that doesn't qualify him to know anything.
No.
About anything.
He can
eyesight.
See clearly. It's a metaphor. <you're laughs> He can see things clearly. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Istanbul has been having, like, a crazy Occupy situation.
Yeah.
Going on recently.
An Occupy that you can probably very much get behind, because the government is about to tear down a park and build a mall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know. I'm on board with this one.
Can you imagine... This well,
my list flying to Istanbul after this.
My first reaction to this was, can you imagine, like, Americans getting so angry about, like, a park being replaced by a mall?
Well, but this has been happening repeatedly in Istanbul.
Well, I know.
This is one of those cities.
And it's ultimately more than that. I think this was just sort of like
it's
the,
ultimately,
you know, the
yeah, they've had a conservative they've had a conservative government in there. They've been sort of curtailing women's rights and things like that for a while now. So people are already agitated. But also, this is like one of those cities where they go in and they build these, like, really high-end malls that only rich people can afford to shop at and are not really services to the community.
Right.
It's
aren't there a lot of those
in Brazil.
Beirut?
All the malls in Beirut are really, like, high-end. They're not really for most, like, Lebanese people. Brazil is, like, famous for having these, like, malls that are, like, surrounded by, like, favelas, basically, and there's just, like... You go in, like, your armored vehicle to the mall and, like, valet park your car and then go and shop at Prada. And then you leave and drive through the slums to get back to your million-dollar mansion.
Yeah.
But, so this is the kinds of mall, these are the kinds of malls that they're building, I think, in Istanbul. And they're doing a lot of, like, urban renewal sort of stuff there, because I just flew through there on my way to Beirut last year. And the airport was entirely new and was basically also a high-end mall. So I think probably part of it is that they're taking a service or a thing that's meant for everybody and turning it into, like, a thing that's really only meant for the elite.
Right.
And that's sort of, like, symbolically problematic considering the direction that the government there is going. But it's also sort of, like, it's about privatization, essentially. It's about, it's, like, sort of, it's something we're already so far down the line on in Europe and the U.S. that no one even talks about it anymore. Because one of the, like, I can't imagine Americans doing something like this, just because I can't imagine Americans, like, getting up in arms about commerce this way, about, like, something commercial coming into anywhere, even though, like, and somebody, I think one of the protesters was quoted as saying, this is like you trying to build a mall in Central Park, or, like, you know, something like that. But, like, in L.A., they do that shit all the time. They tried to tear down the farmer's market to build the Grove. Like, I mean, they didn't succeed at tearing down the whole farmer's market because people got involved, but, like, that the plan there was essentially to tear down this sort of historical part of LA and build a shiny shopping mall. I mean, they do that. That's, like, a thing that they do here. It's just there's not a sense of history here, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas in somewhere like Istanbul, like, a public park is probably...
But they had some crazy, like, clashes with riot police. There were tear gas used. I mean, it was, like,
well, they
big...
were firing them, like, directly into the crowd. They
people lost
off. Actually sustained injuries and, caused blindness in, like, three people.
Yeah.
And there's someone who's, like, in critical condition, like, you know.
Yeah, they got... The police came in really hard, really fast.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, like, crazy media blackout, too. Like, none of the major news outlets are
reporting it.
Reporting it at all.
Right. It's all happening
like Miss Turkey or something, like Miss Universe. Yeah. And meanwhile, this isn't happening, and they're, like, jamming communication signals so people can't use their cell phones and things like that. Like, luckily, people who live in, like, the neighboring area will allow protesters to use their Wi-Fi so they can, like, get the messages out. And it's done entirely by, like, blogging. And
Twitter.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's, though, I think what sort of makes it... It's sort of, like, foolish to respond to any movement like this in this way, because there's not really a way to stop the information from getting out eventually.
Right.
It's sort of, like, not...
And it's weird. Like, the government's approach is just so, like, totalitarian about it. It's like, well, once you stop the people from being able to talk, clearly you look suspicious.
Right?
So...
And this was, like, old-fashioned style, like, sitting in front of trees and waiting and trying to block bulldozers.
Like, they were... It was families having picnics and, like, setting up tents, and then all of a sudden in comes the riot police, and you're like, really?
Wait, what?
We have a... wicker basket and you have a tear gas launcher. Okay, that's balanced.
So I think in our last sort of foreign policy...
Yeah, this is a very foreign policy heavy podcast.
Yes, this is a good one. Oh, and this brings us our first story from someone who we think is going to be making a play in the sort of, like,
in the crazy Olympics.
In the crazy Olympics. And he's been doing a good job recently. Louis Gohmert. He's crazy.
We talk about him sometimes.
He's oftentimes one of the people that will bring us some sort of, like, crazy thing that he has said.
He's often someone who will have the craziest quote on some issue that we bring you a series of reactions to.
Yeah. And this isn't necessarily crazy so much as sort of it's a head scratcher, but there's a lot to unpack here. I don't really understand the story, to be truthful, but I mean, he was on some like conspiracy theory radio show this week talking about Benghazi.
Right.
Of course, because that's what you talk about when you're Louis Gohmert or any Republican on a conspiracy theory radio program. And he is blaming John McCain for it, mysteriously.
Yeah. It's confusing to figure out how he got around to that.
Because he claims that McCain supported and advocated for the U.S.-led war in Libya that ultimately helped Libyan rebels oust Muammar Gaddafi, which I don't really understand how that gets us to what happened in Benghazi happening in Benghazi. It's all very curious.
A while ago that John McCain felt the need to get involved in, like he did in Syria. Somehow, like, directly leads to, like, people
attacking
the U.S. embassy years later, and...
I don't know. It's all...
Louis Gohmert's not someone who deals in heavy facts.
Nope. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. He's dealing in light facts. He's like, there was this thing in Libya, and John McCain did have an opinion.
That's the thing that Michelle Bachmann and a lot of Republicans specialize in, too.
Yeah.
Like, they'll say something that's sort of, like...
Loosely based, in fact, first hearing,
sort of like sounds like there might be some sense involved, and then once you really sort of like try and get to the bottom of it, you're like, wait a minute, those two things do not A plus B does not equal you know, well, anything.
We couldn't get to the whole way with you.
No.
Yeah, but I think.
I love that the Republicans are sort of blaming John McCain because why not? I'm going to start blaming John McCain for it.
They're turning on him.
Than blaming Obama and Hillary Clinton.
There's like a lot of like. Like, they're turning on him, I think, because that Syria trip was so sort of, like, poorly conceived of.
Yeah.
So this is, like, a thing they're doing now, where they just sort of, like, turn on their own people at a moment's notice.
I love it.
They turned on Marco Rubio. They've turned on Chris Christie. Like, they've turned on all of their, you know, past and future presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm. They're going to have none.
Ted Cruz. People are hating on
Ted Cruz.
Oh, gosh.
The Canadian.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Did you know he's
Canadian?
No. Yes. There's no way. Yeah, I know.
Here, he's not only Canadian. He was... He did not become a U.S. citizen until 2005.
That's suspicious.
So
nobody ever worries about the people coming from up above.
Nope.
Right? Nope.
No.
You never hear about them. Moving on.
Oh. This is a good one. So we have... I mean, we often accuse people of stealing our thoughts. Thought crime. We're always posting about thought crime.
More.
But... Obviously they're not, because Politico is not listening to us. But we like
Politico
to,
is our, clearly
now,
listening
in our
and
brains,
directly.
We like to think that they are, because there was an opinion piece that was actually, I would say, maybe even harsher than our own.
I know.
From some of the quotes that I pulled from it. But basically, there was an article in Politico that was an opinion piece talking about why Democrats may not necessarily warm up to Hillary Clinton in 2016. And a lot of it was things that we already put on our blog when we sort of tore her to shreds. Which... Nothing makes us more happy. I'm for a story about anything to do with anti-Hillary Clinton. I'm
totally.
It doesn't matter what it is.
No.
I'll even blame her for Benghazi. I don't fucking care.
It's true.
But anyway.
Whatever keeps her out of the presidential race. Because if there's one place we don't believe she should be, it's in the presidential race in 2016.
But this piece, which, like I said, was on Politico, really ripped her to shreds. They called her the most overrated politician of her generation.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Yes. And they sort of, like, you know, talked about, obviously, like, you know, she was supposed to be pretty much inaugurated queen of the world in 2008.
Yeah, and some random guy that no one had ever heard of, whose middle name is
foreign.
Hussein.
Funny name.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Wow.
And
Jumped
the
in.
Only thing that...
I mean, her
well,
only political...
We got in a fight about this the other night because we were talking about Hillary Clinton, because we love to talk about Hillary Clinton. We were talking about her before Some Like It Hot last night. And Kevin was like, well, she's a great politician. I was like, she's a hack politician.
Yeah. Like...
Wait, can we do a quick like detour about how Scarlett Johansson is like the front runner to play Hillary Clinton in that movie Rodham. Did you guys talk about that one?
No.
No. Oh my They're going to cast Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson is the front runner to be in the movie Rodham, which I'm guessing is her, like, her youth, like, coming up in politics. And
okay. Yeah, Rodham is, that script's been circulating for a while.
Well, there you go.
Oh my god! I love that. I love ScarJo.
Hack politician Scarlett Johansson. My god, maybe she can run for Michelle Bachmann's seat.
She might be.
They love celebrities in Minnesota.
They do. I would prefer to because of that just a second. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, she only has won one race in her life, which she was, you know, she carpet-bagged in a race that anybody, I know, exactly. I mean, any old Democrat with a name can win a Senate race in New York.
Yeah, with a ton of money and a special election. I mean,
it's the only thing that
she's ever been elected to.
And I mean, even Kirsten Gillibrand won by a higher percentage than Hillary Clinton did.
Well, because she's from New York.
Well, that's
she's from upstate New York, and it's suspect, but she's from the state.
And then she was made Secretary of State. For reasons that nobody can quite.
Well, just to
I'm
kind
not
of,
saying that she was a bad Secretary of State.
No, she was just a fine Secretary of State. She wasn't a life-changing Secretary of State. She was, like, a good choice for Secretary of State.
Sure.
She did a fine job as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make you presidential material just because you're a competent Secretary of State.
Yeah.
She didn't change the world as Secretary of State.
Yeah. But, what was the other quote? It said, this was from the article. This is a quote. It said, she worked hard, of course, traveling incessantly, but there never appeared to be any grand plan or theory of world politics going on inside her head. Ouch. God.
But that's what a competent Secretary of State does that is different from what a really great Secretary of State. You know, like, she's fine. She was a fine Secretary of State, but she wasn't, like, changing the world as Secretary of State. She was keeping a lid on the world.
Right.
Which is different. But, I mean, this article, I think, sort of makes a lot of the points that we made in reference to, like, this sort of general sort of knowledge of what people think Hillary Clinton is capable of just because, like, she's been doing this for so long, so it must be her turn, and, you know, obviously Democrats love her, and blah, 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 and, like, all of those things have been obviously disproved by her last presidential run.
Well, and also, the Democrats are a fickle bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, we do not like Republicans. Give whoever its turn it's supposed to be necessarily nominate for president.
Well, the Republicans aren't even doing that anymore.
Well,
that's why they're a mess.
Romney, because he had run that. They
no, they gave him the nomination, but they didn't vote for him.
No, that's true, but I mean, like, they gave...
It was his turn because he had run the time before and lost.
Same with Bob Dole. Like, this
John McCain also.
But the Democrats don't do that. They didn't do that with Hillary. It was supposed to be her time in 2008. They've done it before when they nominated George McGovern instead of Edmund Muskie. They did it with Bill Clinton.
Yeah, it was Jerry Brown was the frontrunner.
Jerry Brown. You know that your parents were real Jerry Brown.
We were. I had a button for a long time.
I know. But we don't do that. That's not what... And that's the thing that we had said in our article, is that she's not just going to walk into it if she thinks she's going to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like the quote here was, we may hardly have ever even heard of who is going to, you know, win the primary against her in 2016. But...
That's...
Do you have 2016 thoughts? Do you have Hillary Clinton thoughts?
Clearly not as intense as
one of our. It's
We've
one
been working
of our
ourselves up
to,
about this for a while.
You're right. We do tend to pick people out of nowhere, and granted, this isn't out of nowhere. But, you know, I mean, being a Jersey girl, I'm a hardcore Cory Booker fan. I'd be completely okay with that.
Yeah. Cory Booker.
I would be completely okay with
Hero Mayor, Cory Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's
like Hero Mayor. It's like. Tweet him, he will shovel your sidewalk during Snowmageddon and, like, bring you treats. I'm like,
I love that. Yeah.
I live for him. I live in peace for Clinton.
What I always say to people about Hillary Clinton is that I think that she would probably, like, be an okay president. I just think that as a primary voter and...
Right, I wouldn't I'm going to pick the most mediocre of these candidates.
Right, I mean, like, you know, this is what... I like to pick in a primary, the craziest person, which I know is what happens... to Republicans a lot, and then they end up losing. So maybe it's not necessarily the best strategy all the time, but I just feel like if you're faced with Hillary Clinton, who is a self-proclaimed moderate, and someone like Elizabeth Warren...
Right. Who you don't waste your vote on Hillary
who,
Clinton.
Who, as a Democrat, thinks everything that you think. I mean, she is literally...
I can't with her sense talking.
Exactly.
She just talks too much sense all the time.
Like, most common sense person.
Get out of here, sense talker.
There's just no reason as a primary voter, especially in California, as a California primary voter, that you go and you enjoy checking off Hillary Clinton's mark on the ballot. I mean, you just... You don't. You pick somebody batshit crazy.
Yeah.
You vote for Dennis Kucinich, for God's sake.
I think we owe Howard Dean a do-over.
Maybe he certainly owed. I actually based my vote in the mayoral election on his endorsement.
Oh, that's right.
It was between Bill Clinton's endorsement and Howard Dean's endorsement, and I was like, do I trust the Clintons or Howard Dean more? Obviously, I trust Howard Dean more.
Yeah,
he goes to bat for you.
Oh, Cory Booker, I like that one.
Yeah,
he could literally just
like a good Cory Booker.
Save America.
Yeah,
really just could. Based on.
I'm also, I have my eye, not because I want him to be president, but because
tweet
I think...
the president. Fireside tweets. Oh, my Lord.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering when Andrew Cuomo's gonna declare. Because
would just be real juicy, because, like, you want, what everybody is saying is that sort of, like, if Clinton decides that she's going to run, then everybody else will just decide that they're not going to run. I would love,
that's not
like,
gonna happen.
A New York... like, long historied, like, they're both, like, from political, I mean,
like, dynasties.
Bill Clinton, like, the Cuomos are obviously, like, a huge dynasty. Like, I would love those two to just
battle
it out in, like, a way that, like, I would want it to turn dirty. I would want them to just be, like, I would want personal attacks.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Tearing each other down, like, in a way that would just
Thing that he has that she doesn't
mafia involvement.
Exactly. It wouldn't help win the presidency, per se, but it would be awesome. It would be entertaining.
The thing that he has that she doesn't have is a history of, sort of presiding over a very broken Congress. Because the New York State legislature is a mess. And he has somehow managed to wrangle a lot of big victories out of that. He got gay marriage passed. Mm-hmm. He's a Republican, essentially. He's very Clintonian in terms of his ideas.
Moderate.
But he's someone who has successfully shown that he can kind of show a strong hand in these situations. And the Clintons have never been able to do that. They're like, they'll compromise on anything. They'll compromise up a storm. They'll be Republicans if they need to be Republicans, because that's what will get legislation passed. But they don't necessarily have any, like, principles that they're advocating for. Cuomo doesn't have good principles, but he has not really, like, wavered in the same way that the Clintons are famous for wavering.
Right.
And it would be like the showdown of moderates where one has been effective and one hasn't.
Well, and what I think, you know, you mentioned gay marriage, and I think that it has always been interesting to me, the gay community's obsession with Hillary Clinton.
I know, because she's never advocated for them.
I mean, up until recently, when she decided that she had to.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, like, let's say Cuomo runs, who passed gay marriage. Let's say Kirsten Gillibrand runs, who basically single-handedly got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
Let's, you know what I mean? Like, if some of those, Martin O'Malley signed gay marriage into law in Maryland. He is one that people talk about that's probably going to run for president. I mean, what happens...
Yeah.
If you actually have people who have worked for the community, like, decide that they're going to run. And she's never worked against the community, per se.
No, but she's had the ability to work for the community and not done it. She's had times that she could have worked for the community and hasn't taken advantage of those times.
But one other potential 2016 presidential candidate, Jesse Ventura, is hinting at a run.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I was in.
He said he had approached Howard Stern about being his running mate. So, so it's a joke candidacy.
Hey, why not? Right.
But it was going to be a single issue run. It's going to be an anti-war run. Yeah.
Which I
and closing
said to
Guantanamo
earlier today. I'm prepared to be a single issue.
Yeah.
Voter. I used to always get on people's cases for, like, only voting, you know, for pro-life candidates or things like that. But, like, I almost voted for a pro-gay marriage candidate until Obama came out in favor of gay marriage. I almost voted for, what's his dick? The libertarian candidate. Not Ron Paul, but whatever the hell his name is.
Oh, yeah.
The former New Mexico
dude.
Or whatever. Which would have been crazy, but I figured I could get away with it in California.
In California,
we don't have the
problem of our votes counting, so that's...
Exactly.
We can vote for anyone we want.
Kim just made a face. No, but, I mean, you're right, ultimately. But,
yeah.
I mean, anyway, so, I wouldn't probably vote for him.
Jesse Ventura?
Jesse Ventura.
This is not just a single issue, because, like gay marriage is a single issue because it's not like it affects your economic life or your, like, not your economic life in the next 4 years. It affects your potential economic life. It doesn't affect, though, it's like a lifestyle issue for you at the moment.
Right.
So voting for that is just voting for a principle. Voting against war is voting to save money, you know, for other things. It's voting
trillions
for other priorities. Yeah, trillions of dollars. It's voting for other priorities. It's voting to, you know, to reinstate habeas corpus. It's voting for a lot of things. It's voting for a lot of things while it's voting against a lot of things, right. Which is why it's an appealing single issue to vote for, because it's not like, you know, there are those side issues. It's the same with abortion. Like, you can vote just on the issue of abortion, but, like, ultimately that doesn't affect...
It doesn't do anything else for anything.
Right. It just... Right. It's just shitty for women. It doesn't, like, do anything else for anything else. It doesn't, like, have... It doesn't reinstall... You know, we don't have principles all of a sudden because we got rid of... Like, but... Right. But something like this really is, you know, it's sort of, like, indicative of priorities in a much broader sense. So, I hope he does it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if it would at least... He would be able to get press...
Yeah.
People would sort of, like, listen to what he was saying, even if it was crazy, which it would be. But, I mean, like, you know, if he was running only on that platform, I mean, he would be able to have people listen to him. And he was the governor of Minnesota. I mean, it's not as if he's just some
Well,
sort
and
of, like,
anyone in a public position who can talk about it forces the conversation for everyone else.
Exactly. That's
what he's there for, to do that. Single-issue candidates aren't there to get elected.
Right.
They're there to talk. He can talk.
I hope he would lobby for Bikini Fridays in Congress.
I like that.
Lord knows they could use
some
a little bit of a boost.
Yeah. Wait, the congresswoman wearing bikinis?
If there's any place that I don't want to see
bikini wearing models coming into that. I'm not.
That's an important
that
assumption.
For discussion and elaboration. You're right.
Okay, all
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a half baked idea.
I'm open to developing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of our economic
plans.
Our 20
points.
One of the 20 points, yeah.
We talked about this.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago because Lincoln Chafee was going around declaring himself the last Rockefeller Republican. Turns out there's not room for Rockefeller Republicans in the Republican Party anymore. So now all Rockefeller Republicans are going to have to become Democrats.
Which is what he did.
Which is what he did this week, yeah.
So he went from Republican to Independent to Democrat.
Yeah.
Which is a little. The timing of this is a little suspect.
Correct.
I'll be honest. I'm not. Against him doing it, the White House, Obama is happy with it, but his approval rating is not good, and he is up for re-election in 2014 in Rhode Island, which sort of is a little left-leaning.
I don't want Rockefeller Republicans to be part of the Democratic community.
Well.
That's another issue. We already have the Clintons. That's enough. They're also Rockefeller Republicans. But, like, we don't need people who were, like, just a few years ago, literally in line with the Republican platform.
Right.
Like, coming in and being like, now we're all in this together, so cut my taxes. Like,
well, it could be sort of, I mean, it sort of reeks of a final desperate move.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are already some kind of, like, up-and-coming Democrats, like, in Rhode Island who have declared that they are going to run in the primary. So he may not even end up being the candidate for president.
He's been on a desperate run for years because there really is no room for him in his party at the moment.
Right.
You know? He's been sort of like a sort of present Republican figure in politics for years.
Yeah.
And he got pushed out of the Republican Party and he got beat by a Tea Partier and he got all of the things that they did to their own people.
Right,
because
he was a senator.
Yeah.
He was a Republican
senator.
Yeah,
he was in the Senate. And he had all of the things happen to him that they do when they turn on you. When the Tea Party turns on you, it's like all of a sudden you can't do anything. And so he's sort of like, where did he have to go from there, you know?
Right.
He's not, I mean, he's very much in line with the current Democratic Party. It's too bad that the current Democratic Party is made up of Republicans, but he's sort of like in that, you know, there's not a lot for him to disagree with there. There's only a lot for Democrats to disagree with in the Democratic Party.
Exactly. Ooh, our next story number two of people who are making a play on Michelle Bachmann's lock on leader of...
We tease this.
Yeah.
Marsha Blackburn.
Yes. We've reported a lot on crazy things that Marsha Blackburn has said, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Marsha Blackburn doesn't want women to be getting paid the same as men.
They don't deserve it.
God.
They're just going to use it to buy shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get their nails done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other things that ladies
her,
do.
Her belief stems from a misunderstanding of the problem in the first place, though.
Well, right, because she was on Meet the Press, and she was asked about, you know, sort of, because she voted against Lilly Ledbetter. She's voted against basically any time that there's been a law that would sort of, like, enforce women getting paid equal to men. And she talked about how she wouldn't want to be hired just because she was a woman, because she thinks that her sort of, you know, her, qualifications, thank you, that was the word
I was looking for.
Would stand on their own, which sort of, like, I get, like, as a woman, like, you wouldn't want to be hired just because you're a woman, but that's not the problem. The problem is that once women are hired,
they're paid less money
at the same job as men. It's not because women aren't getting hired.
No.
It's because once they get hired, they get paid shit. What is that, like 77 cents a dollar or something like that? Like, I mean, so she obviously is
also
done.
Is she ignoring the fact that years ago qualified women were literally not getting offered jobs just for being women? Like, that's not a crazy thing to, it's not like a pride thing, like, oh, I wouldn't want to be offered a job just for being a woman. 20 years ago, you wouldn't have been offered the job at all because you were a woman. So, right. Like, is that even crazy to suggest? No. Obviously, she doesn't remember what it was like to be a woman before.
Maybe she wasn't a woman.
Perhaps.
She's not familiar
with
it.
Making news. Marsha Blackburn, originally not a woman.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
No. Hey, we are here to peddle rumors.
Right. There's one thing that we are here for.
We need some bombastic things on this podcast.
I think it's just planting seeds for conversation.
Sure.
Conversation.
Should, yeah, we need science to get involved to sort of
to confirm this.
Oh, gosh. And in final news, actually not final news, because I'm gonna bring up one thing after this story.
While we have Ken here.
But, right. Ann Romney is releasing a cookbook, which is a real head-scratcher, because the three of us, as we talked about before the podcast, are all convinced that Ann Romney hasn't really stepped foot in a kitchen to cook anything in probably decades.
I think she's probably been in there to choose flower arrangements.
Yes.
Probably select
various dinnerware
type situations, uh-huh. Placemats, you know, napkins, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She's
not cooking anything.
She's not, like, standing behind a stove, like, making Welsh skillet cookies.
Which is apparently one of the recipes that's in. Mitt loves Welsh skillet cookies.
Yes.
I just assume that Welsh cuisine is, you know, based on a dare, like, anything from that region. So why there would be a Welsh-inspired cookbook is beyond me.
Well, she's trying to really get in touch with her Welsh heritage, because she likes to peddle that gives her an international perspective.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about
that. She tried to make amends after she sold them into Mormonism.
Exactly.
Posthumously.
It also has Mitt's meatloaf cakes.
Ew.
I mean, I love meatloaf, but that just sounds disgusting.
It should
because
be called
it has
Mitt
the word loaf. Mitt in it.
It should be called Mitloafs.
Hello? She's already doing
that.
That
was a missed opportunity.
You should have ghostwritten this
for me. I should have.
Oh, God. But anyway, look for that at your...
Yeah, or don't.
At your local...
don't purchase it. Just look for it.
It'll be next to Sarah Palin's memoirs.
No, oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, God.
She's probably cooked.
Yeah.
I trust her to cook.
Oh, I wouldn't trust her to cook good
for
me.
I would totally...
But yeah.
Yeah.
She probably makes a good reindeer sausage. Yeah. Totally.
She probably doesn't because she's not from Alaska. She probably makes a lot of Midwestern favorites of yours. She probably can make
a
casserole.
She probably loves a good use of cream of mushroom.
I was going to say, I bet Campbell's products are involved.
Mm-hmm. Cool Whip. I bet she loves Cool Whip.
Oh, yeah.
Jell-O.
Jell-O, totally. Green Jell-O, if she can.
Yeah.
Some color that's gross. Purple Jell-O, something awful.
Okay.
It's not a color of food.
But while we have Kim here, because we'd... I've been trying to get her for a year and a half.
Maybe, maybe another 2016 contender.
Oh, I thought you were going. Oh,
No,
we've been talking a lot about. I mean, we go into sort of like random digressions on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We had a whole series of weeks where all we could talk about was how terrible Grey's Anatomy was.
Yeah, we talked about that.
It didn't have anything to do with anything.
No.
But we were talking about it.
The people need to know.
The people need to know. It's terrible.
It's news.
Let me just say, Grey's Anatomy is that show that I've not watched since maybe the third season, but without fail, I will come in, I will watch the penultimate episode, and then I will watch the season finale.
Yep.
And regardless of what's going, like, of how little I know that's played out the entire season, I will end in tears. And like, I have no desire to watch
that
show.
The opposite watching, I watch every episode except the last two episodes. I never watched the final episode because something tragic always happens.
Oh,
always.
I did.
Uh-huh. I did. I haven't watched. I mean, I didn't watch the last seven episodes because they were terrible.
But our new thing has been sort of like obsessing over Amanda Bynes.
Yeah,
that's why I was in 2016 contender.
Oh, yeah.
Legally, she will not be of age, unfortunately.
Mm.
She also may legally be institutionalized.
That's true. Love of my life, Amanda Bynes, thrower of vases. Vases, air quote.
Yeah, air quote, vases.
Oh, my God. But she, because we were talking about that last week, because she had just been arrested when we were sort of doing the podcast last Sunday. But not, she
wrongfully should, arrested, wrong, sir. Right. Watch your watch your tongue.
And sexually, yes.
That's and sexually assaulted, actually. Right. But, slapped her vagina.
And she was, I know, she was, yeah, she was sexually assaulted by the police, right? But this week, she really she's been having a lot of Twitter. She's been having a lot of Twitter wars this week.
She has a lot of feelings. She has all the feelings. No, did you see that I said she made Azalea Banks look like the Emily Post of Twitter? No. Yes.
But she also really went on a Rihanna tear. This
week. She was real angry with Rihanna.
Yeah.
All
but
of a sudden,
didn't she post a picture of like her and Rihanna on the red carpet?
No, that was fake. But that was.
Oh, it was?
Oh my God! But it was
a
gem.
It was awesome.
Pure delight. I wish that had been.
But what happened though? She did say something about.
Oh, she said that, well, basically she got what was coming to her for being, like, beat up by Chris Brown because she's ugly.
Oh, that's right.
And
she's,
like,
talking a lot about how people were ugly recently, right? Like, wasn't she, like, talking about, like, some beauty queens being ugly or, like, someone, oh, the Sports Illustrated model, didn't she, like, tweet about, like, how some model was, like, ugly or something?
I love her. Oh, my God, by the way, speaking of Twitter, follow her on Twitter.
Okay.
You will laugh your ass off.
All right, great.
Yeah, no, she's a nightmare. I never want her to go
away. I know, right? But her meltdown is really just everything.
It's a quality meltdown. It's not one of these crap time. Meltdowns.
I was apprehensive about it. I was a little skeptical. I was like, everyone's like, oh, the new Lindsay Lohan. I was like, no, I'm sorry.
No, she's winning.
That crazy pantsness was cultivated over time very carefully.
That's true.
And this is some fly by night hack charlatan meltdown. But
that's
then
what's
as
so
she's continued
it.
To go along, I'm like, oh.
That's what's so great about it.
It gets deeper.
Because it really does.
Because
so much
at a certain point, Lindsay Lohan just sort of got boring.
Yeah, because it was going on for so long.
Amanda Bynes has ceased to do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, no. She hasn't gotten
She was
that
boring for years. And
well, that's the thing.
Now,
right.
She's got a new crazy thing.
Yeah.
That she's taking to a new crazy
She also has a plan. She also has a 20-point plan.
God, I hope it goes all
for
20
points.
For
the economy, I hope.
Yeah.
God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Kim, any final
words? Any final thoughts?
Pop culture words?
Gosh. Oh,
you're
Lord.
Like the queen of pop culture.
I know. Well, now I feel like I'm put on the spot.
Oh,
I can't,
sorry.
No, I can't think of...
Yeah.
Well, nothing's really
after
happened
Earth.
At all this week.
Should we talk about
oh,
that?
Oh, after
Earth. After Earth, which you saw,
Will
Kim
Smith.
Saw.
Did you see it?
Will Smith's love letter to Scientology.
She was one of the few people who saw After Earth.
Me and Brent were saying yesterday, though, that now that it's being considered one of the worst movies of all time, that it might have entered Showgirls territory and that we might now want to see it.
Tread lightly, because that is cinematic.
Kim and I have a real soft spot.
We do.
Well, everybody loves... Showgirls. It's just that
no
everyone...
No one's ever going to love After Earth.
Okay, so it's like bad. It's not a cult thing.
No, ma'am. Okay. I don't know what the budget on that movie was. I was like, how did they get funding for it? I mean, I'm sure, I'm guessing just Will Smith wrote the check for the entire thing. And we were also talking about how very not publicized it was that M. Night Shyamalan was the director.
I know.
It
yeah,
wasn't until I sat down in my seat and the credits were rolling, I was like, M. Night Shyamalan directed this? And then I was like...
Yeah.
I was looking for the exits, but...
He's going to have to start working under an assumed...
Yeah.
Alan Smithy, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Done. Oh, man.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, the headline on HuffPo yesterday was, is this the worst movie ever?
Yeah.
And if people are comparing it to Battlefield Earth...
That's when you know.
That is when you know.
That is when you know.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Gilly's looking like Citizen Kane.
So, in your opinion, is it a movie that's so bad that people should see it, or is it just... boring and not worth it?
No, it's not even so bad. It's good. It's entertaining. It's very dull.
It's just dull.
And sometimes it's very, like, overwrought with, like, the message that it's trying to drive home.
Which
and
is
I'm
what?
Just like, I don't know. I just know that it's trying
what
too hard. I'm not really sure what the message is. I think it is to join the Church of Scientology. But
perfect.
I don't know. And I can't look at James Smith for that long.
Yeah.
I realized.
I heard he wasn't very good, actually. Which is...
Well, what was that review quote that you sent that was like Jaden Smith's notable lack of charisma was like maybe like
oh maybe okay, his notable maybe lack of charisma was why Will Smith decided
not to
bring
any of his
to the set. Was one of the quotes.
Good Lord. Oh my
like,
Lord.
Like once Will Smith doesn't have charisma, like that's
you know
that's another thing that makes you know.
Yeah.
It's another way to know.
That's...
Anyway, well, thank you, Kim.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, come back anytime.
I'm going to have to do this again. It was really
fun. Yeah,
you're welcome at all times.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll
see you next week. Like we do. Hopefully there's news next week. Bye.